And after that Maranash, then he's, well, he was fine. It was very, everything was over. And we felt that, well, at last, the tired horses have come to the stable now. And, well, it was nice. There was a little lull in the activities. And all of a sudden, he said, now, it is 1952. He says, you know, I have to go to the West on a world tour. No, to the West, I mean, to the States. What can we say? And then he tells us, he pointed out to some of us, the Mandali who lived with him, that now you prepare your papers for passport and visas and all that sort of thing. You keep them ready, we'll have to very soon go out. We kept quiet. Those others who went with him, well, they prepared their papers. He looked at me. I said, after a day or two, he says, well, have you begun the preparations? I said, Baba, forgive me, but it's not possible for me to accompany you. So why not? He says, I am too tired for it all. Maybe the Maharaj may have affected me. And he says, no, but I want you to come. He says, no, I cannot come. And there was the first altercation in my life with him. And he insisted that I should go, and I said, I cannot. And then he was very upset. And it was late afternoon. It was time for him to leave the place. He says, you still insist that you don't want to go? I said, I'm not insisting, Baba, but I beg your pardon. I'm unable to go. I'm too tired for it. My whole body is just, well, it's tense and I don't know what, I can't, I'm too tired, the body. I won't be of any help. He said, he come to be of help to him. I said, I won't be of any help. On the contrary, I'll be a burden and all that. So then he says, well, if you don't want to come with me, don't want to obey me, no use, you're living with me. Get out from here. Leave the place. Thus saying, he left this place and went to his cabin, to his room there. Have you been to his room there, where he passed his pastor? No. So that's how it was. And I went to the place in the Maharaj cabin, which he asked me to occupy and continue to stay there. So that was, well, I went there, tried to sort out, looked over. So I tried to pick my clothes, spare clothes, to go, to leave the place. So that's how. But when I sorted out, said, that has been given to me by Baba, how can I take it? He tells me to leave. I can't take this, I can't take that. Tried to, a little bedding roll was there. I tried there, the blanket and all. That was also given by him. I can't take this. So I said, I thought to myself that I will have to go as I am. So when I am preparing to leave, what I see is the clothes on my body are also given by him. Oh, I said, that also I have to discard. What to do now? I can't go naked. What will people say to Baba about it? That what has happened to this man? Because they all knew me because of my being with Baba all the time. On the roadside, people around here and all that. So I waited for the darkness to descend. It was still dusk. When it was properly dark, I'll go. And then I sit. It was a great dilemma for me. And I'm sitting. And I don't know what to do now. I have to leave. Because that I had determined to leave. Because it was impossible for me to continue with him. I cannot be of any help to him. It was a very intense life. That is true. But, okay, then I'll go. But when I'm sitting quietly and I'm pondering now that I have to go naked, then all of a sudden, well, mind plays its own part, as I tell you. So mine started wondering, says, who is going? Who will be going? So I will be going, but you are not yourself. you have dedicated your, you have exercised your freedom to become a slave and you are his, so how can, who is going to go? Oh, I said, oh God, now, well, who is going to go? So such is the play of the mind. And I am in a great fix in dilemma. And within 5 minutes, you know, the world seems to have burden over me. And in the meantime, the compassionate one sends a message to one of the Mandalians, says, tell Erich that he should not leave in the night, that he should, that he'll, his case will be decided next morning. In the meantime, he should take food and sleep well. And sleep and food are my great friends all throughout my life. Yeah, it's true. Under any circumstance, I can sleep. So I had my food, I slept. Next morning before he arrived, he had a sheet of paper, foolscap, typed out with all orders from him to leave the place when he would leave for the States. I had to leave and travel all over the country, giving out his message of love and truth and giving his name to others, which was taboo at the time. We had not even to mention his name in the public at the time. So now he says that now you give them my name, bring my name to their ears and give my message of love and truth. And I said, oh God, it's real vendetta, I tell you. I couldn't go out with him and now he wants me to go all by myself and all over the country now. What is this? That's how the mind works. And he comes in the morning as usual. I am there. Very sternly looks at me and says, well, have you gone through the orders that I gave you? I said, yes, I read them. So do that. I kept quiet. Have you heard? Yes. So do it. When I leave, the day I leave, you go in the travel in the country. Kept quiet. And I was so sad at heart, I didn't know what to do. What to say, how to say, to give his message of love and truth. What's the message? I don't know what the message is. What to tell about, tell people, the crowd about him. I didn't speak out anything. All the time, all the years that I lived with him was just being his slave, not a speaker, not a person who gives lectures or anything of the sort. I didn't even know the meaning of pulpit or anything of the sort. And I'm sad at heart. And he says, what are you thinking? I said, I don't know what to go, what to do. I'll go out in the country you want me to, but I don't know what to say. I don't know. I'm not a speaker to say anything. He says, well, were you blind when you lived with me? Were you deaf when you lived with me? All that you have seen and heard, just all that you have to do is to narrate that. That's all. That's what I want you to do. Said, but I don't know what it is. What is there? And so it went, some days passed by before he left. And he again comes to my rescue and he says, why do you suffer like that? Why you feel so worried and all that? All that you have to do is, when you are in the crowd, wherever you go, you just stand up to address the people. Give my name to their ears. And before doing so, remember me and say, Baba, you want me to speak out? Now it is for you to speak. And that's all. Leave it to me. Why you feel worried? It was not a comforting thing, but I accepted what he said. And it is still continuing. That's all. And what his assurance was so true. I went out and it was a very strenuous trip for, I think, 7 months. It was a terrible thing. Day and night, the vocal cords never had rest. And I don't know what I spoke and what not. It was like that. What he said, what was he who had said things, you know. And that stirred up the feelings of the people there and said, well, when will he come in our midst? Where is he? How will he come? I said, well, it is left to you all. Give a call from your heart and he'll come. So we want him here in our midst, and so forth and so on. When I returned, to cut the story short, I came back and then he was very anxious to hear all the reports. With me, when Baba had sent Pendu, his cousin, to be of help to me to arrange the tours and all that, traveling on. We didn't have money. We had all that we could do. He had just given us enough money to travel from here to some other place there, and then those people would, they will, we had not to accept money. All that we could accept was the food, if they were to give us. Otherwise, we had to beg for it. We are still in our new life. And that's how they supported us from place to place, unbeknown to us. Well, we were given right royal treatment because we come from the, not from a governor or a viceroy general, but from the emperor himself. So, you won't believe, Renata, that even we, you know, we Indians wash our, after the toilet, we wash ourselves, you see, with water, and we need to have mug and all that. Even those things were offered to us in silver. It was too cheap for us to use any earthenware pots or aluminium or this or that. Silver pots, silver dishes, silver things, everything like that, you see. And we are astounded with all his grace and mercy and compassion. What is this? Why are they doing? They don't know us, and we don't know them. But those who became our hosts, they just wanted to do anything and everything. Then what happened? Afterwards, what happened? Then Pendu will pull my sleeve here. He says, it's enough now. It's now past 1 o'clock in the midnight. You see, now, please, we have to rest because next morning we are going to another place. Oh, yeah, that's right. We completely forgot about it. Yeah, we'll spread out mattress. So they'll do something for us too. I said, we are only two people. Why is this the third? No, but I'll be with you all. Oh, I said, thank you very much. So that's how, and we lie down, you see. And that fellow will not put his head on the pillow, but he'll like that. By the way, after that, what happened? Please tell me. So that's how it was. And then the whole night would be spared. Where the words came, where the thoughts came, what happened, we don't know. It was not one occasion. Every time it was the same thing. To our astonishment and amazement, next morning a booklet is given to in our hands. I said, what is this? He said, well, whatever you said yesterday has been printed already. Oh, I say, what did I say? I didn't say anything. Oh, so much? He says, yeah. So that's how it was. You all won't believe, but this is how it is when he wishes us. And it was something that he saved me. That's why I'm still here, in spite of my wanting to leave him. Then when he returned, what happened is that he was very anxious to hear the whole episode. Where did we go and what did we do? So I had to prepare a big chart. Where did we go? Who were our hosts? Pendu was keeping the diary. It was his duty. I was to speak out and he was to keep all that. So a chart was prepared. And he sat on the chart and looked and said, well, I'll go to this place. Write to them that I'll be coming. I told him that they all want to have him. He says, yeah. And that is known as the fiery free life. You follow? In the meantime, between Manonash and fiery free life, there was that phase which we did not know, which he called complicated free life. That was when he met with the accident. Yeah. It was so complicated for those who were around and those who were the hosts and all at the pilgrim, at the mortal beast center. Here is a man who is totally helpless, and he says he has come in our midst, you see, to help and awaken humanity. And he is wheeled on a chair with a cast on there, and he is so helpless, and people accepted him. Yeah. And we were wonderstruck, you see. In our midst of our talks, in our tours, my father sent a cable to me saying that Baba met with a very serious accident, and we didn't know what to do. I just passed the cable to Pendu, was by my side, and we continued and stopped the talk after some time. I said, well, we'll have to leave the place because there's some urgent work at Ahmednagar. So we did not know, most probably Baba is going to return or something. We did not know anything about it. We were both out there, far away from Ahmednagar. So we came back, and as soon as we returned here, cable was given to us from Baba. I want you to return and continue the work. So that's how we went again. That's how it took 7 months for us. Yes. And when he came, he went from place to place, from place to place, setting fire in the hearts of the people, public. That's how he was known. He came to be known in this country.